ask you a question that rarely appears in a medical intake. Not what symptoms are you experiencing, not what diagnosis did someone give you, not what supplements you're taking or medications you've been prescribed. The deeper question is this: what pattern of life has your nervous system been living inside? Because after years of working with patients, something becomes obvious. People don't just develop illnesses. They develop patterns of illness, patterns of stress, patterns of belief, patterns of identity. And over time, those patterns become incorporated into our vibrational system. Today, I want to introduce you to a framework that helps explain this, and it's called the idea of archetypes. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today I want to introduce archetypes to the show. And I may have mentioned them in passing at times on different programs, but I think it's important to bring in this idea in a deeper way because it's an important aspect of energy medicine and vibrational medicine. Archetypes are deep patternings that shape human experience. And when you begin to see them clearly, something interesting happens. You start to understand psychological patternings and how those might become biological patternings too. So what are archetypes? Archetypes probably started in ancient Greece in terms of, you know, the idea, the concept behind the patterning. In modern times, Carl Jung developed this idea and actually coined the term archetype, which comes from Greek meaning first pattern. What's interesting is that these patterns that Jung observed, he saw across cultures and centuries. So when we say something, hero, mother, child, rebel, those concepts exist in different mythologies in human history. And for example, if you were to read the Ramayana, which is one of the oldest Vedic texts and stories about King Rama, that story, even though the names are different and sort of the ideas are different, and it's talking about Vedic ideas as opposed to, say, Judeo-Christian ideas, the story will look familiar. And so that's why Jung came up with this idea. And these patterns show up in our mythologies, in our dreams, in religion, in literature. In fact, many people don't know this. There's a book written by Joseph Campbell who studied mythology. He was like a walking encyclopedia of mythology. He wrote a book called A Hero with a Thousand Faces that kind of goes through the idea of archetypes and patterns and how the hero's journey is repeated in various cultures and various centuries, various times. But the story is basically the same. The hero runs into an issue. He has to go resolve. He goes to the underworld to resolve something or find something, and then he comes back and shares it with humanity. And I'm oversimplifying the concept. Well, there was a young man named George Lucas who read this, and that's where the story of Star Wars came from. He actually credits Joseph Campbell's A Hero with a Thousand Faces for doing that. So the patterns are there, and they live in what Jung calls the collective unconscious, which is kind of like the idea that we're all connected, that we all kind of come up from the same source. And in other words, this is part of a shared layer of the human psyche. Now, these patterns influence how we interpret things in our lives, in our world. And it shares how we interpret danger or belonging or meaning or identity. In other words, they influence how we survive. And these survival strategies shape our nervous system, which means that they're eventually shaping the body. So it's important to understand that there's a psychological patterning that happens that will build up our body and our nervous system. And what's interesting is that, just as a quick aside, I've worked with people who grew up in the same family, and either they were twins or very close in age, had very similar psychological experiences growing up, but they took what happened to them and went with it in different ways. And I think that's because their unconscious development and developing and the patterning that was in them was different. And that's part of it. So as an example, your nervous system learns a strategy to find safety. Some people learn to fight and they might become warriors. And some people learn to care for others and those people become the caretakers. Some learn to withdraw into thought. Those people become sages or seekers. These strategies become psychological patterns. And over time, these patterns, these psychological patterns, absolutely become physiological. So a person who lives in chronic vigilance, for example, trains their nervous system to be in sympathetic activation. And a person who suppresses their emotion trains their body to dissociate. And eventually what happens can happen is the body begins expressing what the psyche cannot. So you get fatigue or pain or autoimmune condition or anxieties. To understand why this happens, I want to introduce another concept from Carl Jung called the shadow. Now, the shadow has a lot of, I will say, misunderstanding in modern society, because oftentimes people look at the shadow as it's a bad thing. The shadow is bad all the time. The shadow is neither good nor bad. Every psychological pattern has a light side and a shadow side. The shadow side is the part that we don't allow ourselves to see. It's the part we hide or deny. Now, this is the part that's generally into the unconscious. In archetypal psychology, the shadow becomes powerful precisely because it stays hidden. What remains unconscious often expresses itself indirectly. It can express through conflict, through behavioral issues, through symptoms. In other words, the body sometimes carries the shadow. And this is why I think it's important to recognize the shadow. Now, I do want to say that sometimes the shadow, because it's the things you don't understand or don't see, is actually an expression of something that lives inside of you. Like the mild-mannered man who then, you know, the Incredible Hulk is an example of this, right? The Incredible Hulk is actually someone who's a hero, a warrior who fights for justice. But it's in his shadow. That's why he is this mild-mannered man until he gets angry and then he bursts open. And we see this. I mean, I've treated patients who've had something like this. It also can show up in another way in terms of the warrior energy. I've had patients who've been litigators, for example. That's an amazing warrior energy, but it's in the courtroom is really, really appropriate. It's less appropriate when you come home and are dealing with your family. You don't want to bring that litigation energy, that warrior energy, into the home when you're trying to relate to someone, right? So that's kind of the pieces around this that I think are really interesting and are important to recognize how all of this kind of plays out. And so it's, you know, this is the piece of it in terms of the shadow. Now, before I continue, I want to take a quick break. And on the other end of the break, I'm going to talk about one of the teachers in terms of archetypal psychology that is around today, Carolyn Mace, and look at four of the archetypes that she talks about. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Gail Winkleman. And today we're talking about archetypes, kind of at a high level, just to kind of introduce you to how these patterns can influence us and affect us. And before I can jump back in, I just want to remind people that if you have any comments or questions, feel free to send an email to info@askdrgill.com. So I want to introduce an author that I've talked about before, Carolyn Bass. And she's been a medical intuitive, and that's mostly where I know her work. But recently, I've been listening to her talk about four archetypes in relation to health. And the four, she talks about how most people have all four of them. And before you jump on, and when I talk about them and say, I don't have these, just hear me out, because I think these are universal and they play out in ways that affect our health. And all four of these have survival patternings as part of their process. And the four is the child, the victim, the saboteur, and the prostitute. Now, these aren't labels. I just want to be clear about this. These are ways that patterns that we use to survive. They influence how we respond to power and how we use our integrity. So let me briefly describe them. The child archetype shapes our earliest experience of safety and belonging. And it may hold emotional memory, it may not, but it's basically its biggest fear is being abandoned. That's kind of where abandonment wounds come from. But it's also a piece of, it's not just that someone's going to leave you, it's that I can't survive. And so there's a layer of helplessness and avoidance of responsibility that can come with this person. And it's important to recognize, and by the way, we all have this, right? It's a question of, is this running the show? So when there's a level of dependency on someone else, that's basically telling you that the child may be running the show behind the scenes. The victim teaches lessons about personal power. In its healthy expression, it's your ability to recognize, I am not going to be taken advantage of again. And the shadow expression is that you're being victimized all the time by life. In other words, the person, when you get a diagnosis and you say, why me? That's the victim talking. The saboteur basically finds way to undermine your whatever, success, change, being seen. And it operates often to block opportunities. And in health, this often comes up interrupting the healing process. I have seen this so often with patients where we are doing a therapy and it is working, and then they stop doing the therapy for whatever reason. And it's like, why would you sabotage that? You have gone from 0 to 90, and now you're back down to 30 because you stopped everything for 6 months. This is very common, and it happens because there's this unconscious place or patterning within us that is operating that we're not conscious of, right? And this is an important one in health, because I definitely believe how people will do this. Simple. Another example is you're controlling your diabetes and doing really, really well. And then you go out and have cupcakes, right? And then you fall off the wagon and you're completely off the wagon. There's another example. Now, the prostitute is the fourth one. And this is not about sexuality, by the way. This is about what power you negotiate for survival. And every human being faces moments when they are tempted to compromise their values in order to feel safe or accepted or make money, whatever it is. This is actually a very profound archetype, because it's asking yourself, what part of your soul are you willing to sell in order to survive? And there's a great movie with Peter Sellers and, oddly enough, Ringo Starr. It's It's from Great Britain, I think from 1970. And it's called The Magic Christian. And basically the whole point of the movie is everyone has a price. It's just about finding what that number is. It, you know, this is a hard one because many of us have mortgages to pay or rent to pay. And the question is how do you negotiate through that? Right? How do you find the ability to pay the rent or the mortgage, to put food on the table while still holding integrity for yourself? And I think this is a really important question for us right now in humanity, actually, to begin to look at this. And it's definitely not a comfortable one sometimes, but it's an important one. And I think that oftentimes it shows up in health, because when we sacrifice our integrity, that's when health problems often will occur for people. So now archetypes become biology because of the way that the energy organizes in our body. Remember, we're vibrational beings, and the archetypes are the patterns of how the vibration organizes. So therefore, it's going to affect our body. And as a part of it, it's going to influence how we respond to stress, how we make decisions, how we relate to power. All of this shapes our nervous system. For example, someone with a strong victim pattern that's unconscious may reinforce their own helplessness in the face of the illness. And maybe that's why they stop taking the vitamin therapy. Someone with strong sabotage patterns may interfere with their healing behavior, as I mentioned. The wounded child may maintain chronic emotional threat signaling, and as a result of that, be unable to change their inflammatory patterns. In other words, psychological patterns eventually influence our physiology. And I really thank Carolyn Mace for bringing this to the attention of healing practitioners, because I think this is a really important aspect of why treatments sometimes don't work. So healing will often begins not with different therapies, but by understanding these patterns. When you can see these patterns operating in your life, you're not going to get rid of them, by the way. It's about putting them in the back seat where they belong. And instead of beating yourself up over it, it's just about observing the pattern. And that's what allows the nervous system to shift. Awareness introduces choice, and then choice brings regulation. And then once you have regulation, that's when you start creating the conditions for healing. So I want to leave you with a few questions. First of all, which of the archetypal patterns that I mentioned feels familiar in your life? When do you notice moments when your victim appears? Or if your saboteur interrupts your progress, that can be health-related, or maybe it's business-related. Maybe you have an idea of doing something and you shoot it down right away. That's the saboteur. What wounds, or how do you feel the wounds that you that are carried by your inner child? And do you see where you compromise your integrity to feel safe? Now, none of these are enemies. These are your teachers. This is an opportunity to look at the things in your life and grow and expand and change these things. And as you do that, you begin to rewrite the signal your nervous system sends to your body. That's the deep work of healing. And I'll explore this more in future podcasts, by the way. In the meantime, as I'm putting this together, I will be putting information up on my website about the workshop offering I'm having. This is a big work, 12-week workshop. I'll also be doing smaller workshops on pieces of this that are, you know, less of a time commitment for people. And maybe it's the one piece that you need to begin to explore to start changing these aspects of you, right? Because I think that there's a lot of really good information about how to heal out there. And a lot of that stuff doesn't work because of these other pieces, these deeper pieces are out of place. And that's what I'm hoping to be offering here and will be offering. I'm doing a workshop next week in Hawaii live, and I will take that information and offer it either online live, or I'll do it where you can just do a video type situation where you can watch it on your own and do the work on your own time. So that's what I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed this. Let me know if you have any comments or questions, and I will look for you next time. Thanks so much.